Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and I'm a registered Lilydale medium, and you are listening to Lilydale Radio. There are two ways to tune in on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. for my show. You can go to my Facebook page. You can like, follow, share all that good stuff on Willa White Medium. You can view that weekly. I have a different guest on, and it's an opportunity to talk about different topics. You can call in. I'll give the call-in number in just a bit. And I love having conversations with my guests, and we certainly have a lively time of it on Facebook with the different comments. And I do want to tell people that this is not readings. We're not doing readings today. So if you do call in, that's not the focus of our show today. We're going to be talking about genetic memory. So if you want to tune in on the Lilydale Blog Talk Radio site, you go to blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio. You click on the episode for Wednesdays with Willa. And there are other Lilydale Radio shows that are starting up. We have on Tuesday evenings Colleen Vanderzijden at 8 p.m. Then you have Wednesday mornings with me, Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. with John White, no relation. And then we have Thursday mornings at 10 a.m., Celeste Elliott. So we all have different shows and different ways that we run our shows. But you can tune into those and learn from Lilydale year-round. So I want to introduce my special guest today, Patricia Stranahan. Thanks for coming on the show today, Pat.
You're welcome.
She's such a beautiful lady, and she is one of my neighbors here, quite literally. And her and her husband are just delightful people, and Patricia is very knowledgeable. You've been a registered medium for how long now has it been?
In Lilydale?
Yes.
About six, seven years.
6, 7 years. And before that, you were a medium
for 30 years in my church.
Yeah. And your church was down in Virginia, is that right?
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was an NSHC church, and I was certified and did all that.
Wonderful. And then also, you've done a lot with healing.
Right.
And the understanding of healing of person's mind, body, spirit.
Right.
And in what capacity have you worked with that?
Well, I started out working in traditional medicine, mostly military hospitals, and then my first paying job was at an OBG clinic.
Oh, wow.
But then I got sort of just satisfied with traditional medicine, and I got my naturopathic doctor degree. Mm-hmm. Had my own clinic for a good number of years, over 20-some, and then I just kept getting older, so I closed it.
Yes. So then you just focus on being with family and then also doing your mediumship.
Right.
Especially here in the summers in Lilydale.
Right.
And Patricia has a family background in spiritualism. you have other relatives that have been prominent here in Lilydale.
Right. I have, there were three cousins. One passed away, but two of them are still here.
Mm-hmm.
And we see each other often. It's kind of fun to come here in the summertime and get to visit my relatives as well as all my friends here in Lilydale.
Yeah, so it's kind of a family occasion here in the summer for Patricia, because you have Gretchen Clark and Sherry Lee Calkins are cousins to you.
Right.
And Jacqueline Francina, before she passed, was mm-hmm. also registered at Lilydale medium. So it's very much in the family. One could say almost genetically.
Uh-huh.
And,
I think so.
They have a really special cottage, just to kind of take us on a little tangent here. They have a very special family cottage, and it's called the Webb Stranahan Cottage. Is that right?
That's right. Uh-huh.
And you may have passed by on, which street is that? Is that
on Second Street.
Second Street.
Yeah. I think it was my great-grandmother who built it, but I'm not 100% sure at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's been in the family ever since, and it sits there exactly as it was in the day. No modern conveniences whatsoever, no electricity. It's still the old gas lanterns and gas refrigerator. We still have the pump. Not sure if that works or not. But
the water pump for pumping the water.
And I think the only modern convenience was we did put a little bathroom in.
Yeah.
Because it was an outhouse.
Yeah. You kind of need to get with the times on that one.
Right.
But it is a historical house. I think it's 1883 that it was
something like
built.
That. Yeah.
And so it's a very old-time cottage, and Patricia was gracious enough to give me a tour along with my family this summer, and it was great to look at the old cottage and see how they may have lived back then.
Did we ever figure out how many people had slept?
I was up there counting the beds and trying to figure out how many people could you fit up there. I think it was 9 people, but if you had kids, you could fit more.
Yeah. And there's a sleeper sofa downstairs.
Yeah, and then downstairs. So, yeah, a lot of people can fit in that teeny-weeny itty-bitty cottage.
Right.
And they do for family reunions and things like that, because it's a cottage that stays in the family.
Right.
So I think it's wonderful Lilydale history. If you ever get a chance to go buy it on 2nd Street, you can give it a wave.
It might be part of a historical trip next year.
Oh,
not upstairs, though, because the stairs are too steep.
You heard it here. There may be a tour in your future next summer, 2019, if you're interested. So that's something to look forward to. Now, with our topic today is genetic memory. And if you do want to call in, our guest call-in number is 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818. And it's an opportunity to call in with your questions regarding genetic memory or your positive comments about that, or if you have a sense about genetic intelligence yourself. So as far as we should probably explain to certain people, they may not know what genetic memory is.
Well, you know, so much research has been done on research on genetic things these days. For instance, they now are able to do tests on women to see if they do have that little gene that can lead them to breast cancer.
Right.
And there's a lot of other things that are genetic as well. But I came upon genetic memory by... I had many, many classes, years worth of classes in regression hypnotherapy.
And that's how you utilized it.
Right. Now, my teacher believed in past lives. I did not. But in my clinic, I used the past life regression to regress people back to the start of whatever medical problem they were having.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that went back 2, 3, 4 generations.
Right, generations back into the family and
into the
grandparents. And I just want to say the genetic memory is the idea that you can inherit memories from your ancestors without having to experience them firsthand. Carl Jung, the famous psychologist, did talk a lot about this, and he theorized that we are born with the memories and experiences of our ancestors. And that gets inherited through the DNA.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, there is that background of epigenetics. So the Human Genome Project was completed 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were able to map that. And that we basically have within us those survival instincts that predispose us to being able to handle certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's still more science to be done about this. But, you know, in your practice, you were regressing people back, and they, without you necessarily leading them to that.
Oh, I never lead them.
Right.
Never.
I want to make sure I note that with you.
No.
That it wasn't something that she set up in their minds that they were going to do. They did this organically.
It was through them doing this that I came with this idea that it had to be genetic.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at... The YouTube, so the little 2 or 3 year olds playing concert piano. How did they do that? They didn't learn it while they were here in 2 or 3 years.
Well, you know, I do think that parents do play a role in supporting their children. I think there are many factors that make somebody be talented or skillful with things. Genetics do help.
But, you know, I bet if you research some of these kids' backgrounds, you know, they're genetically, you would probably find that they were related to someone in their family that played the piano like that.
Very possible.
Or perhaps even was a composer or something.
Mm-hmm.
I know either there are things that I know how to do that nobody ever taught me. Now, how did that happen, too? It has to come from someone in my background that did the same thing.
Yes. And they've done studies. I really think this study is cool, so I want to share it with everybody. So they were studying, I think it's mice or rats, close enough, right? They decided to get the mice to hate the smell of cherry blossom. That smell would, oh, just really bother them, and they would avoid it at all costs. And so what they would do is then with their offspring,
mm-hmm.
with the mice children and grandchildren, they would just kind of test and see how they reacted to it. And there had been a chemical marker, which is called epigenetics, when there's a chemical marker
mm-hmm.
on the genes that tells them to react a certain way to stimulus. And so they, just by having that in their family background, did not like cherry blossom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they could probably have taken those and got them to like cherry blossom again, eventually,
probably.
If they really wanted them to play with them. But I think it's interesting that the idea of scent trauma for the mice was something that held true for them going forward. So, you know, just to give an example with in your particular practice at the time, when you regressed, I remember you were telling me a story about a lady that you regressed.
Right. She was a woman that was quite overweight, and I talked to her about all the right things to do as far as eating and all that sort of thing, but she wasn't losing the weight, and so she agreed to be hypnotized to go back and see if we could find what was going on. So in the process of regressing her back, first of all, her parents argued a lot, and she would sit on the staircase and listen to the parents argue, and then the father would leave and the mother would come and see her sitting there and take her into the kitchen and let's have a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever she got upset, Mom would feed her a piece of cake.
Mm.
Well, that wasn't good enough. That didn't work. So I would keep going with the regression and regressed her back to, it must have been her great-grandmother was a prisoner of war in Auschwitz or one of those camps.
Mm.
And she actually had nothing to eat.
Mm.
Poor grandma was, you know, picking up bugs and so forth. And so helping her deal with that trauma that she carried forward in her genes helped her to eventually stop overeating.
Wow. By having that awareness or that recognition.
Right. You know, you have to be aware of something before you can heal it.
And it's not necessarily something that was shared with her by her parents.
No.
Or anything, but that she was able to uncover through the regression.
Right.
Wow. Pretty fascinating. It's just an element that works for certain folks to be regressed in that way and,
right.
and to go back into that genetic. You know, they had an interesting discovery. There was a famine, I think it was Sweden, in like, you know, the early 1800s, and what they monitored in that village, you know, all the deaths, all the births and everything like that. And they started to recognize that there was a correlation that when, they call it the starvation gene, when the grandfather had experienced a famine at a certain age, then later on, the grandson of that grandfather would have diabetes, would have a high probability
mm-hmm.
of diabetes, which is kind of fascinating, whether it's true or not. I mean, it's an interesting idea that the genetic memory, that epigenetic response
right.
happens
mm-hmm.
in those ways. And epigenetics can happen in the creation of a life. It can happen from what I've been reading. As you can see, I've got these books behind me. I love books. And I had a few more, but I put these ones up because I get fascinated by subjects. And I'm an eternal student, right? And they were talking about how you in your lifetime, your genes can change depending on what you've been exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Within your environment for emotional triggers, but also
right.
Pesticides.
Absolutely.
And other things that can happen to the body can then make offspring predisposed to certain things as well. So it's really kind of fascinating. And have you noticed that in your work too?
Oh, absolutely. For instance, I had many clients, patients, who had problem with GMOs,
mm-hmm.
and particularly gluten intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of the bread, the wheat we have today is GMO.
Mm.
And during research, they found that the protein in the wheat that has been altered, that the body doesn't recognize that whatever they've done to it,
right.
that pesticide or whatever's in it. So what the body does then is it starts to build fat around it to protect you from this unknown thing in your body.
Mm.
Now, this unusual thing, and this also got to me into the genetic memory thing too, was some of my patients would go to Italy, and they just, they couldn't resist the pasta, they couldn't resist the bread. No problem.
Yeah. Well, they have a different wheat there.
They have a different wheat, but not only that, they don't allow the pesticides and so forth that we have. I think it's France especially, Austria, Germany. They don't, and Italy, they don't use these things.
They don't use those things.
So when I buy pasta, I buy it that comes from Italy.
Italy certified.
Yes.
Well, I watched a documentary in preparation for this show as well. Look at me, I'm all studied up. But I'm just a layperson. So keep in mind, it's a layperson's understanding of things. But it was a wonderful Nova PBS documentary on genetics and epigenetics. And they were explaining how proteins within a gene, like if you see the chromosome, what happens is a certain kind of protein is the like a chemical trigger, and it will hug a portion of the gene, of the chromosome, and cause it not to be seen.
Mm.
Because you not only have what your genes are, but you also, the writer of your genes, but you have the reader of your genes. Right? And it tells your cells how to react. So it's like this certain protein can hug it, and then it's not seen. And I thought this is really fascinating because a certain kind of protein will really help your body and other proteins not. And you just said that the protein that is in the GMO, it can cause certain things like that, if we want to draw some correlations, possibly. I did, in preparation for the show, I talked to a couple different people. I talked to a psychologist. I talked to a college biology professor who studied genetics. And I said, what about genetic memory? What about these ideas? And because they're very science background, he said, we don't know, but it's possible. Because there are so many factors that go into building a person.
Right.
But, it's an interesting thing that I think is real for people. If they can understand it on those levels, that they are mapping as they go through their life even.
You know, things are really so complicated. In a way, they're easy.
Yes.
But in a way, they are so complicated. And I find this also goes in with my mediumship, too, doing the readings. Because
yes.
I'll get younger people in there, and they say, well, I never knew my great-grandfather. I never knew my great-grandmother. And I says, well, that's all right. They know you. You are part of their gene pool. You have some of their genes. And I've had people tell me that, yes, they do know how to do things that, well, so-and-so, you know, their great-great-grandfather did this, but they never did, but all of a sudden they're doing it.
And that's another thing. It can skip generations as far as abilities with things, and what they know versus what they allow to express. I do think emotional trigger has a lot to do with
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, that's the main thing.
And so even if a family is predisposed to certain illness or disease, unless there's a strong emotional trigger, it may not come to be in a certain person.
Well, that's what I discovered in regressing people in genetic memory.
Mm-hmm.
It always went back to some extreme emotional something in their background way back so many generations before.
Do you feel that when a person in the here and the now comes into understanding energetically of how to heal themselves to overcome, let's say, genetic memory or overcome emotional triggers or, you know, overcome something spiritually, that it energetically can go back through the generations and heal them.
Oh, absolutely. I think it can, and that's part of why this works with regression therapy. I don't do that much anymore because I don't have my clinic, but I just found out something that I didn't know about myself.
What's that?
I believe it would be my grandfather's mother. Now, when my grandfather was young, a thrasher or something like that went over his foot, and the doctor wanted to cut it off because he said it would never grow, it would never be right. Well, it was either his mother or grandmother that was Christian Scientist. Now, I never knew that. Mm-hmm. So this is in my genetic background.
Right, right.
So here I am, a naturopathic doctor, just like this lady was a Christian Scientist. But she would not allow his leg to be cut off. And so my grandfather always, it did heal, but one leg was shorter than the other, so he always built up, I think I showed you the shoe in the cottage.
Oh, that's right. Yes, in that Webstandian cottage, there's this really cool shoe that has the big,
right,
like a platform on it.
Right. My grandfather would build these shoes. He would make these little wooden stilts, if you will, so that he would walk and be even.
Yes. Otherwise, he was a leanin'.
Yeah.
We would have called him Eileen.
So here I have someone in my background I didn't even know about.
Right. Right.
A similar interest that I do.
That is so cool. And sometimes you do find things out later and have the confirmation about those things. And I think it's fascinating that when you start to make the connections, the synchronicities that unfold. What are your thoughts as far as intuition and the idea of mediumship being possibly a genetic predisposition among people, especially because you have this in your family? I mean, you could say some of that's environmental.
No, I think a lot of it is genetic. I have three daughters, and they all have an ability, especially my oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I do think it runs in families, and you know, this goes back several generations in my family.
Yes,
at least
does.
Five generations. Now I know in my two cousins who live here, it goes back six generations with them because their father also had this in his background.
That's right. And then moves forward into their great-grandchildren that they currently have.
Right.
So it's amazing how things unfold with that. I know in my family, because obviously my mother is also a registered Willie Dill medium, so I was raised with that understanding and allowed that to foster. But it's certainly something that's gone back in our family. And a lot of Irish, you know, they see the wee people, right? And so they're predisposed to in their culture, but also they feel probably genetically that they are. Oh, and then gypsies, right? I almost made her spit her water out. They probably think it's, you know, that they're the most intuitive, right? And you have different groups.
That's funny because in the small town in Pennsylvania where I grew up, there was a railroad track, and the gypsies would come in a back property. Yeah.
Gypsies in America?
Yeah.
Wow. I always think of gypsies as being like a Europe thing.
Now, I'm older than you, Willis. It was a long time ago.
So, the last couple of summers, there's been a visitor who must have a gypsy wagon, and it's all decorated up, and it's like the back of their vehicle is a gypsy wagon. So I think that's kind of funny. It could be tongue-in-cheek, but it's really beautiful.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. But, you know, I think different cultures do seem to have an acceptance about those things, and some people would probably say genetically.
It has to be partly genetic. And the more research that's done on genetics as far as finding out if we're predisposed toward certain diseases, I know right now you can get that tested.
Right.
My sister is a nurse, she was a professor of nursing, and also she's chaplain at a large community in Florida, retirement community. And we go and visit her for, like, January, February, possibly March every year. And the
why
community
not?
Where she lives,
good reward.
It's a huge community, so they bring in the top speakers of all kinds of things. And they usually have a health thing where for 3 weeks in a row they'll have a different person talk about something.
Sure.
And one was about how they can research through genetics right now and find out if you are going to have this particular disease, like MS or whatever it might be. I don't think they can track it for everything, but they can track it for some.
So it would be a tendency, but that doesn't mean that they have to get it.
That's right.
Yeah, because
like,
that's the thing. I don't like it if it's too concrete there, you know?
No, it just tells you that you're predisposed to it. Now, my husband...
It would be better not to know. I wonder if it would be better not to know on some levels, because then you
wouldn't
necessarily bring it to the surface.
I think it would depend on the person, how they would handle it.
Yeah.
Now, my husband, he had heart surgery last year to correct a valve problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in his family, all his parents, his brothers, sisters, they all have heart problems.
Mm-hmm.
His older brother died at, I think it was 61, of a stroke. Well, Fred, my husband, has always, for some reason, taken really good care of himself. He's always watched what he's eaten. He's, you know, just like I do.
Yes.
Eating good stuff. And so he's now 80 years old, so it took a lot longer for him to develop any sort of heart problem at all.
Yes.
But we've also been cognitive of it. We've been to the doctor. We have a cardiologist that he goes to. So if you do know ahead of time, and he is the youngest. No, he's not the youngest. He's the next to the youngest.
Next to the youngest.
If you know what these things are in your family, you can live your life in a way to avoid having some of these problems. Same way with diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if people know that diabetes is in their family, they just need to be careful and watch what they do.
Very much so. And I tend to think that diabetes is an example of something where you're given a new set of boundaries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to live within those boundaries or die. So, you know, it's an opportunity to really be in a place of self-discipline and self-mastery,
right,
in those. At least in the people that I know that have diabetes, they're given a new set of boundaries. They don't always like it. they definitely have that. And I think it's interesting that they can start that genetic memory in their family. So it does behoove us to, I guess, to some extent to be more cognizant of that. And then also emotional traumas, like you were saying
right
before, and how that sets people up. And they did another study. They did a study of, I don't know if it's mice or rats. For some reason, my mind does, it's a rodent. this was in the film documentary. And so if you guys want to watch it, you can. I'll try to put it up later what the title of it is. But they had nurturing mom mice and they had non-nurturing mom mice. And the nurturing ones would lick their babies and they come to me in little, you know, like mother hens, right? And the non-nurturing mom, you could tell she was just like, oh, oh. And then, her kids would be off of it a distance. And you could just, like even on a mouse face, you could tell she wasn't interested. And so they followed this genetically in the epigenetics of that, the chemical markers of what happens to the rodent babies. And they even then tried to switch them. They said, okay, let's give the licky mom's kids to the non-nurturing one and switch them and see what happens. And it changed their epigenetics to do so. So dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
it's really fascinating how much that nurture can have a reaction within people. And I remember there was a story of Russian orphans, and they, this is decades ago, they were Russian orphans in the orphanage, and they were just basically laying in cribs, being ignored. Do you remember reading about that too?
Yes, I do.
And do you remember what happened? A lot of them got adopted into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept track of these kids, and the ones that were adopted before the age of 3, they thrived. You know, they were high probability of thriving, doing well, intelligent, everything, because they got to them before the age of 3. The ones after the age of 3, they had a lot of addiction issues, the criminal behavior. It's just really kind of fascinating from a nature versus nurture standpoint,
right,
about things and how that can trigger things within people too.
Well, they say the first 5 years of a person's life are the most important ones. And if you haven't instilled a lot of ethics and morals and rights and wrongs by that time, it's going to be more difficult.
And that idea of affection being
right.
so necessary in the makeup of
mm-hmm.
of a child and of
right.
a person, and how that sets the chemical markers within them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe some of you have also had that experience out there. If anybody does want to call in, the call-in number is 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818. If you want to call in with any questions about genetic memory or if you have any positive comments, you're welcome to do that. And if you're just joining the show, this is Wednesdays with Willa, and as my special guest today, I have Patricia Stranahan, who's a Lilydale Registered Medium and also a naturopathic doctor. So she's got that background. So what are some of the other things that you've noticed in terms of genetic memory or intelligence or however we want to term that? Have you noticed any ways to maybe access the memories other than regression? Like for people at home that want to access this, is it necessary for them to have a hypnotherapy session? Or do you think it's possible for people in meditation to reach out and have that healing?
Well, you know, anything is possible through meditation and being in touch with that spirit, that divine spirit of God. That can change anybody's mind, and it has.
Mm-hmm.
You've witnessed that through some of the AA
mm-hmm.
people and people with other addictions. That somehow they just wake up one day and they think, oh, this is just not the way I want to be anymore.
Yes, yes.
But it also usually comes with some sort of spiritual awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
all healing really starts in the spirit side.
Yes.
Body, mind, spirit. You have to start with the spirit,
mm-hmm.
then the mind, and then the body does. I used to tell my patients, remember that your body is listening to every thought you have. So if you're thinking negative thoughts, your body's going to be down, depressed, and so on.
Yes.
Start thinking positive thoughts, it's going to start responding and heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
But also having said that, there are some people who just do not want to be healed.
Mm.
They may say they do,
mm-hmm.
but there's something in the Bible where this man is, the water in the pond or something, and this man is laying there wanting to be healed, and all he has to do is, you know, reach over and touch the water, and he doesn't do it.
Oh.
So God says, well, I guess he doesn't want to be healed.
Yes.
Or Jesus, I guess it would have been.
Well,
in
you
the
know,
Bible.
It, to some extent, healing is a choice.
Absolutely it is.
But it's also sometimes through people's trauma or pain or experience, they're helping other people to overcome theirs.
That's right.
And so sometimes their life becomes a living example about how to
exactly.
heal in healthy ways. I really enjoy Johnny Erickson Tada. She's a Christian lady who's, I think, in her 70s now. But when she was 17, she dove into the Chesapeake Bay and became a quadriplegic.
Ooh.
And they've done, you know, a lot of books. She's written a lot of books. She was the one who painted with the paintbrush.
Oh, yes, yes.
People probably know what I'm talking about. But she's been an amazing force for connection with the divine, and then also an example to those who are handicapped and overcoming and taking joy in the simple pleasures of life and the little small increments of improvement that sometimes come, and how to pray about those things.
That reminds me of a couple things down in our hotel. That big, big, I guess it's embroidery or something, that the lady was also handicapped, and somehow she did it. I don't remember exactly how
really?
She did it.
I don't know this one.
With her teeth or something. It's a big, big tapestry on the wall.
She embroidered with her teeth?
Something, I don't know. I made that up, but somehow.
She made it up. She
had
to.
She couldn't do it the normal way, so
uh-huh.
I know she did it some other way, maybe with her toes or something. I don't know
wow,
how.
Perseverance there.
But, and I've also seen a lot of these paraplegics and so forth that figure out ways to do things without using their hands or toes or feet or whatever.
Yes.
just learn to do it another way. Just like a blind person. They can learn to walk and so forth by just tapping on the ground, and their hearing becomes more acute.
Yes, amplification of those things, for sure. So,
so they're changing their genes.
Yes, they are changing their genes. And, well, their epigenetic markers and moving forward. And do you feel that if we wanted to access the memories of our ancestors, we could? I know in mediumship I do access their memories because they talk to me and they tell me about memories they have. But as far as like in the DNA,
individual doing it for themselves, I don't know because I access it for people too in readings, but whether they actually, I don't know. I guess if they wanted to bad enough,
if they wanted to, they could access the memories. I remember, and if anybody remembers what book this might have been, if you've read it too, but I remember reading a book long ago now that the early peoples, human population, they could remember the memories of their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents on back as if they were their own, and they were their own memories, that they could access them like it was, it had its own little file cabinet probably up there, and that they were able to access the memories of this. So there's some genetic memory possibility. So I wish I remember what book that was. If anybody has read a book like that, tell me what it is. I would be happy to read it because I think it's really fascinating. I know that the Aborigines in Australia, they believe very strongly to be able to access the memories of their ancestors.
And they also believe in healing just overnight. A broken leg, for instance.
Yes.
I've read books about that too. I forgot the name of a woman who actually visited there and wrote a book, but she actually experienced some of that.
So you can access on a primordial level healing and memory, but I think we also need to remember we can access on a divine level that because even though we're human bodies with human bodies that we're living in, our little vehicle for this life here that we're experiencing, we also are souls. And so our true genetic memory, you could say, would be the divine memory, because that's what we issue from.
Well, sure.
Ultimately.
Well, if you think of it in a Christian way, God the Father, if we actually have genes of God, let's say, whatever you want to call that divine source,
yes,
then we have access to all things.
True. And
that's why I don't understand why people think they're not worthy. My gosh, if they've got some of the genes of God within or the divine spirit, how can they not be worthy?
This is true. This is true. And, you know, when you look at quantum mechanics and quantum physics, and they go into the cell, and then they go to the atomic level, the subatomic level, the quark level, beyond, and there are galaxies within us.
Sure they are.
And so
a big hologram.
We're able to access those points within us as well if we want to train ourselves to that point. I see that we have a caller, and I want to make sure we get a chance to do that. Time's going by fast. So I'm going to take caller. The number ends in 3140. Again, caller ending in 3140. Hello, and welcome to the show. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's Amy, and I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for calling in today. What's your comment or question about genetic memory today?
Well, actually, I just noticed that you were on the radio from Lilydale, and I was tuning in because I couldn't hear it over my computer, but...
So you were listening in on that way. That's fine. I just out of curiosity, do you feel that you've had any memories that would be genetic in nature or something within you that has helped you connect with your ancestors?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you have an example?
Like I'm mediumistic, and I just started taking some courses for it.
Great. And do you feel that that has come to you genetically?
Genetically, meaning like from my grandmother or grandfather or something like that?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know. I don't have a real vivid picture as to what, you know, my great-grandparents, you know, what their abilities were. I do know, you know, that there were some issues going on there that, you know, and it was a generation that they didn't speak about some things. And if they did, they didn't pass it on because they didn't feel it was normal or, you know, sometimes they just didn't speak of things. I mean, my grandmother, she had cancer and breast cancer, and she didn't even tell us that. And that was a short generation ago. So
yeah.
I don't know. I wish I could say for sure I don't know. I guess one day I'll find out.
There you go. And as you develop your mediumship, you can ask her directly.
Exactly.
You
so.
Can use her as a resource. I like to say that our loved ones in spirit are resources for us. And if they were good at something when they were here, they're still good at it. And you might as well call upon experts. But you ultimately have to listen to your own soul when you make your decisions. The peanut gallery doesn't get a vote. Not really.
Right. Just exactly. Well, I'm going to start tuning in more. I didn't realize you all had a radio station from Lilydale, so I'm absolutely ecstatic about that.
Oh, wonderful. And you can tune in on my Facebook page. If you go to Willow White Medium, you can tune in that way, and you can see us then.
Okay. I'm not doing Facebook.
Pardon?
I'm just not doing Facebook.
Ah, I understand. Well, even if you don't have a Facebook account, you can still go on Facebook, and you don't have to log in or anything. It'll still let you access the archive videos later on. But if you want to tune in the way you are or to go to the blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio, you can tune into the different shows that way. And it's a listen-only feature that way.
Right. I'll definitely do that for sure.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for being on the line today, Amy. You have a wonderful day, and lots of blessings to you in Wisconsin.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So it's interesting. I know time's going by so fast. I want to make sure. I did mention that we have the other Lilydale radio shows that you can tune into. I do have my autumn classes. I need to mention this. I have my autumn classes. I teach at Jamestown Community College, which is in Jamestown, New York, not far from Lilydale, and I do in-person classes. One of the first classes I'll be doing this autumn is on October 3rd, which is the Lilydale Experience. It's usually through the Chautauqua County Visitors Bureau and JCC, and people come here to Lilydale and have a Lilydale Experience with me. And I kind of guide them through things. We go to the assembly hall and we get to see all those wonderful people from history. And then we go to healing service and they can ask a lot of questions and get some answers and have a Lilydale experience with me. And then my next one coming up will be on October 17th, which is Recognizing Spirit Contact. That's at the Jamestown College campus. And that's if you want to recognize the ways that your loved ones are communicating with you. And it's a really fun class. People frequently will share. I've taught that one and the Lilydale Experience a lot. And it's fun because people have their own experiences that they share that are so amazing and valuable. And so we get to, that's a hands-on kind of class. And then on October 24th, I'll be doing clairvoyance and symbol interpretation. Because symbols have a lot to do with how we see the world and the messages that spirit bring. I know you work with in that capacity as well.
Yeah, I do.
And it's good to know how to utilize those symbols for spirit communication, for dream interpretation, for just living life. And so if you want more information about those particular classes, those are live in-person classes that I'm doing. And you can register through JCC, but I do have the events posted on my Facebook page and also on my website, willowwhite.com. and you can certainly check those. Now, next week's show is September 26th, so you tune in next week, same time, same channel, Wednesdays at 10 a.m., and my special guest will be Lisa Williams. She's an international medium, and she's also the vice president of the Lilydale Assembly. We're going to be talking about forensic mediumship. It's something that she does teach about, and I love our topics. I love getting this all together. I'm having a lot of fun with it. So it'll be a great show. So last week we had intuitive children. This week we're talking about genetic memory. And then next week will be forensic mediumship. The week after that will be the etheric arts with Joseph Scheel, who is a spirit artist. So a lot of great things coming up on Wednesdays with Willa, and we keep it hopping. And I need to share about Pat's website as well. I have to look up when it is. If anybody wants to connect with Pat after, you can certainly do so. And it's naturalhealingcenter.com, and the center is just CTR. So naturalhealingctr.com, and you'll find the Reverend Patricia Stranahan, the one, the only, and you'll see her lovely photo there too. And any last thoughts about genetic memory or things that you want to share with folks before we go off air? Because I know our time is coming to an end here soon.
I don't know. I guess I would just say that you really should know more about your ancestors.
Yes, please. Before you come for a reading, know your people who have died.
That's right. Because people come for readings and you give them something and say, "I never knew that person. They died before I was born." But if you know something about them, then that might tell you why you're partly the way you are, because you have some of their genes. And
yes.
So maybe you're doing the same things they did.
And sometimes, I do feel that we do choose our families for the lessons associated with them. And sometimes family members are examples of what not to do.
Oh, that's right.
So we do have that as well. Like, we have the lessons of what to do and what not to do. And sometimes it'll be really evident that this person is an apple that fell off the tree and rolled down the hill. So, I mean, there is that part of it all. If anybody's interested in any of the books that I've been reading, this was a really neat one by David Shank, The Genius in All of Us, Why Everything You've Been Told About Genetics, Talent, and IQ is Wrong. Such a title, isn't it? The Evolution of Childhood, Relationships, Emotion, and Mind by Melvin Connor. I've got The Triumph of the Intelligent, The Creation of Homo Sapiens by Seymour Itzkoff. We also have Up from Dragon, The Evolution of Human Intelligence. I have this one. This is neat. Scared Sick, The Role of Childhood Trauma in Adult Disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with that lady you regressed, even though some of that went back to, some of that went back to how people were doing things in the great-grandmother, but then you have that understanding within her own childhood she had issues.
Right.
So you're able to resolve on a couple different levels, and hopefully going forward for her with her family, that's not something that they need to hang on to anymore.
I guess the other thing I would like to mention, too, is, we all have personal choice, but we also have to be responsible for the choices we make.
Yes.
And so, some of those people that don't want to be healed, they may not consciously know that,
mm-hmm.
but they do have to be responsible for the results, which is eventually them passing.
Mm-hmm.
And so family and friends around them shouldn't feel too guilty by not being able to help them because they didn't want the help anyway.
Oh, wow.
And that's very sad.
There is a part of the population that can be like that.
Right.
But then they do, embrace healing on the other side, typically.
Exactly, they
so
do.
So sometimes the healing comes with the transition.
That's right, they do.
And so that can happen.
And it comes down to those that are here because you and I both access some of those people sometimes.
Yes,
and
yes.
They have wonderful things to tell the people who come for reading.
Yes, and how to overcome challenges that might have come in their life, mind, body, spirit. And so when you think about all of these things, it's really fascinating. Again, genetic memory science is trying to catch up with a lot of these things, so I'm sure there'll be more things that come out as they continue
definitely.
To study the human genome beyond its completion and the epigenetics and how that plays into environment. So I hope you guys have enjoyed the show and that you can tune in with us next week. As I said, September 26th, we will be having, as my special guest, Lisa Williams, will be talking about forensic mediumship. And so you can check things out on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. Thanks for being here today, Pat. I really appreciate
it. Fun.
It's our spiritual conversation.
Yeah.
It's really been delightful. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Great. Well, have a wonderful week, everyone. And we will see you.